Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're only going to spend just a short time in the Word of God. No, I'm serious. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time praying. Amen. And I'd like to focus on prayer tonight a little bit. And I'll show some ways we're going to actually do some kind of setting that up and preparing for that. But I know Brother Luke's really been emphasizing on Sunday nights the need for prayer. And I have too. I've been trying to emphasize preaching on Wednesday nights in the topic of prayer. But I really believe that we as God's people need to be people of prayer. And one of the things that Luke said on Sunday night just really hit me. And I know this passage very well, and so do you. When Jesus went in and cleansed the temple there, he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Man. And I thought, is that what our church is known for? No. I don't think if you asked anybody, you'd say, "Oh yeah, man, that's a praying church." I'm not saying we don't pray. I'm just saying if you become known for that, that means you do a lot of it. Amen. And it's known. And so I'd like to see our church, you know, me to start, be more focused on prayer. And I pray. Amen. I definitely pray. Amen. I feel like I'm constantly in a mindset of prayer. But I'd like to see us as a church collectively maybe spend a little more time in that area. And for all of us as a church, individually also being better. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, they actually more than asked, they said, "Teach us to pray." It is something that you learn. Amen. Is anybody here that would say, you personally would say about yourself, you would say, "I am really good at prayer. I'm really good at it." And I'm not pointing you out. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not making any jokes tonight. No, I'm just, nobody here says like you're expert in prayer. See, and I think that'd be good if some of y'all were. Amen. We call those people prayer warriors. And in some churches, there are people that could point out and say, "Oh, that sister so-and-so, man, she is a prayer warrior." And I'm sure there's a bunch that we could probably note something like that I know that guy, they pray, right? But we need to have some prayer warriors. Amen. Known. And I know we enter into our closet, we shut the door, and we're not, you know, telling people we're praying. And I'm not asking those questions tonight so that you would boast and say, "Oh, that's me, I am a prayer warrior." But, you know, I know what God's gifted me in, you know, and I try to put my diligence into preaching and into just being a help, you know, to our people and organizing things and keeping things running straight. And that's kind of the job that the Lord has given me to do. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I know that that's probably, as far as the church is concerned, that's probably my high point as far as what God's given me to do. And I try to do, you know, as he's called me to do. And so I would hope that there's some people here that says, you know, my high point, what God's really gifted me in is an area of prayer, you know? And if that's you, I would just say, just learn to pray better, more earnestly. You know, a preacher, I spend a lot of time studying, and I've sat under a lot of people that have tried to teach me how to better preach, and I'm always interested in. And we were at the CIIB, and there was a guy that preached the evening, and he's been in the ministry forever. He's an older guy. 43 years, I think it is. He started a church in Ohio, and his last name's Rain, Pastor Rains, R-A-I-N-S. Anybody know Pastor Rains? No? Okay. 43 years, same church, started a church, been there ever since, and it's just fun to sit under people like that and just listen. He said some interesting things, I will say, but I would consider myself a younger preacher to him. I just enjoy learning when those like that are preaching, you know, because I'm a student of that. I'm a student of what God's given me to do, right? And so we need some students of prayer. I think all of us need to be praying, you know, in a sense, students of prayer. But But there's going to be others that are just absolutely, that's their thing. Amen. And there's going to be others, absolutely their thing is outdoor knocking. And it might not be your absolute thing, but even in those, we still do those, right? But it might not just be what you specialize in. But God does enable us to be specialized in different things. And so prayer can be one of those. And so if you're wondering, you know, I don't know what God's gifted me in, it may be in the area of prayer. And a lot is accomplished through prayer. A lot. And it's not something that, you know, should be thought ill a little of. It's huge. Prayer is to be a huge part of our lives and as a huge part of our church as well. So look over at Luke 18 and in verse number 1. Luke 18, verse number 1. Just with this question tonight, what does it take for you and I to be moved to pray? What does it take for you and I to be moved to pray? Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, so here's the parable. So the setup to the parable is, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's that mean? It does mean pray always. But in context, to this end, men ought always to pray, and then what shouldn't we do? Faint. So what do we think faint is in that context? What is it? Fear? That's interesting. It might include some fear. Why would you say fear?
Well, if you're not praying, you're not dependent solely upon the Lord, then you're putting your faith in something else.
True. But I get that. That's why I was kind of curious where you're heading. The direction of this passage is we ought to engage in prayer and then not faint. If you're running a marathon and you faint, what happened? You stopped. You stopped, right? You're no longer in that marathon. You're on the ground. You fainted. Amen? You fell down and you stopped. So men ought always to pray and not to stop. Men ought always to pray and, in a sense, persevere through those prayers. How many have ever engaged in something very, very heavy upon your heart, and you start praying, you're praying, you're praying, you're praying, you're praying, and then over time, you stop praying for that? It never got answered. God never said stop praying. You just got a little discouraged maybe. You got maybe a little disenchanted because God ain't answered. I've gone at this long enough and he ain't done anything or whatever. But for whatever reason, you just give up. Yeah, amen. Man, every one of us no doubt can raise our hand. If we've been at this thing any length of time at all, we're prone to that. Aren't we prone to that? We start strong and then we faint. Right? And by the way, that's the importance of a church is we encourage each other to keep on. Amen. We edify each other. We're constantly trying to keep each other from falling, right? We bear one another's burdens, right? Yes.
So another reason to write your prayers down, put them in your closet, so when you go in there,
yeah,
don't forget to do all the prayers that you need to do.
Yeah, because sometimes we just stop praying for something because it's no longer at the forefront of our mind. Yeah. So you just need to have that written down. That's great. And there are some great tools that you can do to keep those things before you. All right, so this passage to the end that men ought always to pray not to faint. And so this passage is going to show us through parable why we want to keep praying and not faint in our prayer. And there's a reason for it. Look at verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now, this judge is likened unto God. Now, there's a couple things in this that you can't directly liken unto God, but it's just showing the extremity that in this case, if this guy can be swayed this way, then so God surely can, right? But it's showing even in this case that you have someone that is in a position of authority, he's a judge, but he doesn't fear God and has no regard for man. He doesn't fear God and could care less about the people that he is set over to judge. So that's the context. You have a judge, it's a job to him. He has authority. He doesn't fear God, and he doesn't care about the people. All right, that's the setting. And there was a widow in that city, a widow, a person of no authority, a person whose husband died, a person who their identity, in a sense, was through this guy, and in that system, that how things were there, now really has no standing, no reason for someone to pay attention to them, right? Pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the widow in their affliction, right? Because that widow, the fatherless and the widow because who wants to visit the widow? Because the widow can do nothing for them. That's the context, because monetarily speaking, typically in that context, they don't have a lot to offer. That's not always the case, especially in our day and age, but that's really in the scripture when it talks about that, that's what that's referring to. So there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So this widow has an enemy, an adversary, somebody that's trying to gain advantage on her. It might be financially, it might be land, it might be something else. Whoever this is, somebody is pressing against this widow, and it is such that she would go before the judge, right? So something is happening there that he is impeding her, violating her rights, stealing from her, something like that. And so she appears before the judge, and she makes request that he, the judge, avenge her of her adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while. He would not. Now, why might not a judge avenge? Maybe this judge knows the person. Maybe this judge doesn't want to give her any time. Maybe because he doesn't even care about the people, as he already stated, he just doesn't see her issue as important, right? And so it says in this text that he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. All right? So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Amen? That's kind of the thought here. He doesn't really care about her issue. He doesn't even care about her. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care. All he cares about is himself. And because she keeps coming, it's bothering him. And the only way he can get her off his back is to avenge her. That's the context. That's what's being stated. And so then it says in verse number 6, again it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Now, shall not God? God as the judge making everything right. Ultimately, all things will be made right. Shall not God, who is right, who does care, he cares for us, shall he not avenge his own elect, those of us that are born again, his own children? Shall not he avenge which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, let me just say, his idea of speedily and our idea of speedily aren't always the same. And there's a reason for that. When we pray and we have this heavy burden on our heart for something and we pray to God for it, if you think about every situation that God has brought before him, there are a lot of sides to that situation. There's me who brought the situation. There's the individual or the thing that's being brought forth. Then there's all the people that touch that, right? And if you change this, it affects everybody. So keep in mind that when you pray and ask God for something to change, there's a whole lot more that has to be done than just answering your request from your perspective based on what you want to see. Does that make sense? A lot more. I mean, my mind just goes crazy when I start thinking about this. All the tentacles of every request that we pray. And in order for God to answer our one request, simple request, he has to consider and also answer that based on everybody else's request and life and how it affects everything. That is amazing. I mean, I as a father, I have to be cognizant of when I answer something for one child, how it affects the others, and my wife, and our family, and then our extended. I have to be very careful every time I give an answer or do anything because of how it affects so many others. But when you throw this into a broader spectrum in reference to what we deal with, that's just like John, it's heavy. Amen. And so built within that is our understanding of what we're asking God to do. We're asking God to move heaven and earth for us, to change the natural course of things at times. Joshua prayed for more daylight and got it. That affected some people. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That affected some people. But before God would answer those prayers, he had to be, in a sense, already in front of all the ramifications of those prayers being answered. Does that make sense? And so there's so much to it. Not to mention the fact that you ever consider every prayer request that God answers, in his answering of it, he never violates his own word. So all those prayer requests that we pray that would violate God's word, null and void. Right? And so just consider that when we pray. At the same time, we are encouraged here to engage and stay engaged and keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You know what I find as I do that? Sometimes the prayer request changes because I change through the process, right? And so it morphs a little bit, amen, until it gets to that place. Oh, then now it's to where God can answer it, right? But there's a lot that has to take place there. So the point is this, even with an unjust judge that doesn't care for the people, doesn't care about God, even he would be moved by someone who continually comes to him. But there's a component here that is very important. The widow knew that the judge had the authority and power to do something to avenge her. That's the key ingredient for us, is that when we come to God, we come not just as a last resort, not just as a, you know, a request that may or may not get answered or whatever. We come knowing that God has the authority and has the power to answer our request. And nobody else has that authority and power. Only God. And that is called faith. And that is the ingredient. That is the thing that it takes for us to continually come to God and not faint. Matthew 21:22. I'll read it. You're familiar with it. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. Yeah, the next word's believing. Believing, ye shall receive. I encourage you, if you struggle in the area of fainting because your prayers aren't answered quick enough, I would encourage you to have that verse memorized, or at least on speed dial, amen. And all things, it says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, some things we pray, we try to, and I think you ought to be specific in your prayers, but just understand that even specific prayers can be answered a number of ways. Our perspective is not the only perspective. Someone's sick and we pray for them to be, you know, healed. A saint dying is a saint being healed. Does that make sense? They're fine. When their infirmity is over, their problem is dealt with. Does that make sense? So just understand that as we pray, there are other possibilities than what we've considered in the answer of our prayers, right? We pray, God, I have this bill coming up. You know, I need $200 to pay this bill. That bill could also just be forgiven. You might not have got the $200, but the bill was forgiven. Or maybe someone else found out that was and paid it. Never the $200 never went through you, but it was still. There's always other ways for prayer requests to get answered. Amen. So we just have to understand that. The Bible says that if we pray in reference to all things, that whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And my question to you is, do you believe that? Now, if you answer, yeah, but, that's not belief. Well, you know, that's not belief. And you don't get your prayers answered. Isn't that amazing? This widow lady had nobody else to go to. And neither do we. Amen. Patricia. The verse? It's Matthew 21:22. Oh, if I think I understand what you're saying, we can hit rewind. But if you ask God, if you're asking God for something, right? And I just messed it up. That's okay. Done went by. But the point is this: if you're not believing, and you're not taking that request and lodging it with God, without any other options. He's the only one that can answer your request. If you leave any other out, then that belief really isn't there. We have faith in him. We have complete faith in God. That's the key ingredient to the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. We believe that God, he directs our steps. He guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us by the Holy Spirit. We believe that we're his children. We're born again. He has a will for our lives. He loves us. And so when we cry out to God in prayer, we know he cares. We know he's interested in us. And so it's not an adversarial relationship. It is a relationship that's based on a family connection. We are one with him. We are in Christ. Amen. And so when we pray, that's how we approach God. And we're open for him answering however his will would determine to be answered. But we know that he hears us and that he answers according to his will. And he answers speedily. Amen. And if the only reason we would ever stop praying is if we stop believing that either he cares or that he can answer or that he will answer. And the reality is that that's just not true. That's just not true. Amen? So that's kind of a thought there on that. So with that in mind, what I want to do tonight is take some take some prayer praise reports, amen. And then I'm going to ask you a question that you can write down a couple requests of your own, and we're going to update our list, and then we're going to pray, amen. And I will encourage you to pray believing. And I know we've all had things that we've prayed for, and we feel like maybe God didn't answer our prayer. But I'd be very careful with accusing God of not answering your prayer. Amen. Be very careful with that.